This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, wa salat wa salam ala sayyidin mursaleen, sayyidina wa habibina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it's great being here. The weather is stormy outside, but it's warm in here. And it's not warm in here because the temperature is very pleasant. It's warm because of all the wonderful hearts that are gathered here. Alhamdulillah, we indeed as a community have been challenged, but not in unique ways. In fact, our challenges are far less than those encountered by Muslims in many parts of the world. As we know, the challenges facing the Muslims in Myanmar, formerly Burma, as we know, are very, very, very daunting challenges. People being driven from their livelihood, their homes, forced out to sea in many instances with no clear destination, all because they're Muslim. It's the only reason. They have wronged no one. And their plight is largely unknown, the plight of the Rohingya Muslims. We know the situation in places like Syria. May Allah protect that land and restore it to its former glory and status as a land of safety and security. And the massive waves of internally displaced individuals and refugees. And we should never forget that most Syrians who have been forced from their homes are internally displaced, which means by and large they're being taken care of by their Muslim cousins and uncles and relatives, brothers and sisters in other parts of Syria. And I say that because sometimes we forget. We see the news coverage of Muslims going into Europe, and some people say, where are the Muslims? You guys have heard that. And certainly there are countries such as Saudi Arabia or the Emirates or Kuwait or others who could definitely open their doors and receive more refugees. But we should never forget about the 1.5 million Syrians in Lebanon, almost a quarter of the Lebanese population. And certainly there are stresses and strains, but by and large, they've been received. And the Muslims and in Lebanon have opened their, shared their resources. And it's a poor country to the best of their abilities. Or the almost 3 million in Turkey who are in some instances being taken care of by refugee standards in very, very good and healthy, wholesome ways with a lot of positive contributions from the Turkish government and from private organizations, NGOs in Turkey also. So we should never forget that when we say, where are the Muslims? There are the Muslims in Syria receiving their brothers and sisters. There are the Muslims in Turkey, in Lebanon, in Jordan. So we should never lose sight of that. We have a responsibility to help this religion. All of us have a responsibility. And we should understand when we help our religion, when we help our fellow Muslims, we're helping ourselves. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you help the religion of Allah, someone might say, it doesn't say إِن تَنْصُرُ دِينَ اللَّهِ. That's something that's understood from the context. There's what we call Hath mahdhuf. In tansurullah, in tansuru deenullah, yansurkum. If you help Allah's religion, Allah will help you. Allah doesn't need any help. So we understand Quran by looking at other verses. So we nufassirul Quran bil Quran awwalan. So the first source of tafsir is the Quran itself. And elsewhere in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. O you people, Muslims, Christians, atheists, Hindu, Buddhist, who knows what, you are all in need of Allah. أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And Allah is free of all needs. وَاللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Allah is free of all needs, worthy of all praise. Being free of all needs, Allah doesn't need our support. And so we understand, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ, in that regard. وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you help the deen of Allah, Allah will help you. So when we help the religion, we're helping ourselves. In tansuru ahlallah, if you help the people of Allah, then Allah will help you. Wallahu, and our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma kanu Allahu bi auni jet lag. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ أَوْ مَا دَامَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا دَامَ أَوْ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah will help the servant as long as the servant is helping his or her brother and his or her sister. So when we help the religion, we help ourselves. If that's not enough encouragement, what is? Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ يُحِبُّونَ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. O you believers, Allah is addressing us, brothers and sisters. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِ. Whoever turns back, what do they, literally on the religion, but it's not talking about apostasy, which is bad. It's talking about something else. مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ نُسْرَةِ دِينِهِ. Whoever turns, as many of the commentators, the mufassirin, inform us, whoever turns back from helping his religion, then Allah will bring another people, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ whom he will love and they will love them. يُحِبُّهُمْ يُحِبُّونَ. And we were talking about this next door earlier. So if we don't do the job, brothers and sisters, Allah will bring other people who will do the job. He'll bring other people. So we have a job to do. How do we help the religion? Look at our situation. And I'm speaking in this North American, and specifically this American United States context. In other parts of the world, how people help the religion would vary. But we're here in a context where Islam has been vilified, demonized, misrepresented, misconstrued, and misunderstood. So we help the religion by clarifying the truth about our religion, which has been lied about. Our religion has been lied about. One of the greatest lies is that Islam is a violent religion. Look at all of these peaceful people here at this conference. Thousands of people. No criminals. Might be one or two. Generally speaking, no criminals. No one with who would ever think of harming their neighbors in any way, shape, or form. No one who would ever think of harming their fellow workers in the workplace in any way, shape, or form. But because of the actions of a handful of misguided individuals, there are those who have taken that opportunity to distort and to lie about the entire community. Every community has its miscreants. Every community has its violent people. But every community is not have an industry built around the actions of its miscreants to defame the entire community. In this country, there have been this year over 360 mass shootings. Over 360 shootings that involved four or more victims. Muslims have been implicated in two of those. Out of over 362, Chattanooga, where there was a person who was diagnosed with a mental disorder and on psychotropic medicine, and in San Bernardino. Two out of over 360. But only those two become an opportunity to vilify, to slander, to defame, and to distort the reality of an entire community. We mentioned the individual in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Whenever any non-Muslim, person who's not a Muslim, commits one of these heinous, despicable acts, and we condemn them all. We condemn Chattanooga, we condemn what happened in San Bernardino. We express our condolences to those who lost their lives, just as we can express our condolences to those Palestinian mothers and those Iraqi and Syrian, Afghani and Somali mothers who are losing their children every single day. But the first thing when it's not a Muslim is he has some sort of psychiatric disorder. It's just a lone nut who snapped. Right? But when a Muslim is diagnosed as having a psychiatric disorder, as in Chattanooga, who is known to be on psychotropic medicine, as in Chattanooga, he is motivated by an evil religion called Islam. And any other consideration goes out the window. And this sort of distortion has created this image of Muslims as the violent community, when the reality is, if you look at the world today, overwhelmingly Muslims are the victims of violence. And I don't say that to invoke any pity or to invoke victimhood. We're not victims as Muslims. We're people who stand up and bear our responsibility. But this distortion has occurred. And to represent our religion, we have to correct that. And we correct it, first of all, in our context as a Muslim community in North America, renouncing violence. In our status as citizens, in our status as Muslims here, there is nothing in our Sharia that condones violence. And those individuals, those handful, upwards to 10 million Muslims in America. Some people say there's 3 million Muslims, but I know that can't be true because there's 1 million cab drivers and they have families of 4 or 5. So that's 5 million right there. I mean, have you ever gone to an airport and the cab driver wasn't a Muslim? So even it's so real that there's jokes about it. I'll tell you a joke. Here's a quick cab driver joke. In fact, it's a joke in Chicago. It's a joke. It probably didn't happen, but it could have happened. That's what gives the joke resonance. So there's a Jewish rabbi. He comes into O'Hare Airport, and he comes to the curb, He's getting ready to get in the cab, and he sees a Palestinian flag hanging from the mirror. He looks and he turns around as he's leaving. And so the Palestinian brother said, "Rabbi, come back, come back." He says, "Listen, I know we got this beef, but we leave all that over there. This is America. We leave that over there. So get in. You're okay. It's okay. So plus we respect rabbis. You're a religious man. You're not some kind of, you're not with IDF or anything. Get in the car." So he gets in and he's driving. And so he comes to a red light. Shoom, he goes through it. It almost has an accident. He goes, "Rabbi," he said, "man, didn't you see the red light?" He said, "Oh, just relax, Rabbi." He comes to another red light. Goes through it. Almost gets clipped. "The Rabbi, you're trying to kill me. You said we're going to leave that over there." He said, "We did. You just relax." So he comes to a green light. And he stops. And the rabbi said, "What's going on here? I mean, two red lights, you go right through it, we almost got killed. Now we come to a green light and you stop." And the Palestinian brother, cab driver, says, "Yeah, I know, I stopped." He said, "Well, how do you explain that? This is crazy." He said, "I have three brothers, they're also cab drivers. They're running red lights too." So I stopped at the green. "All right, moving right along." Moving right along. So now just imagine for a minute. Imagine for a minute. Some people are still getting it. Like, some will be like clapping next week. They'll be at dinner. I got it. Moving right along. Now just imagine if every time there was a school shooting, which happens every other month or so, that you have 24-hour coverage for a week or two or three weeks about the threat of the crazy white teenager. And then when you went into the bookstores, you had whole shelves, the threat of the crazy white teenager, the violent crazy white teenager. And this went on for a decade. And you'd be scared to death of white teenagers. "Don't shoot me." This is what's happening with Muslims. But it's not the responsibility of the people doing it to correct it. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility, as we said, to renounce violence as a community. I'm talking here in North America. And I'm not talking in self-defense. Everyone has a basic fundamental human right to defend themselves. I'm talking about renouncing the use of violence to advance political agendas. This is something that is unsanctioned by our religion in the circumstances we find ourselves in, and is something counterproductive anywhere. I would argue, the time doesn't allow me to present the full case. But as a community, we have a responsibility to let people know, for the sake of our religion, this is what we stand on. And if you want to reject that, that's your business. If you want to deny the fact that we've made this unequivocally clear, that's also your business. But this is what we stand on, and this is what we will meet our Lord on. Secondly, as a community, we have to build alliances with others. As you've seen, all of you have seen the incredible shows of support across the board. I guess that would mean Trump and his followers also. Almost across the board for Muslims. I know sisters who have been in public spaces and people have come up and apologized. I was just in Toronto at the Reviving Islamic Spirit Conference. They had an interfaith panel an evangelist from Houston, Texas, apologized to the Muslims for the bigotry, hatred, and racism that many members of the evangelical Christian community advocate in advance against Muslims. Lindsey Graham, of all people, senator from South Carolina, apologizing to the Muslim world. And then actions, people reaching out, people coming to the masjid to express their desire to help to protect the community. This is happening. People sponsoring programs right here in, where's Wheaton College? That's in Ohio? Chicago. Right here in Chicago, Wheaton College professor wearing hijab in solidarity with her Muslim sisters, with Muslim sisters, expressing that we worship the same God, which is true. This, like, always, you know, baffled me. Yeah, that's the Christian God and that's the Muslim God. Well, there's only one God. All of our God, who controls one universe and the affairs of this universe, and issues his decrees that govern what happens in this universe. Two would be impossible. They would cancel each other out if they were both all powerful. As the theologians say, هذا من المستحيلات. Muhal, it's impossible. And she gets fired. And she still maintains her supportive position. And then students at this evangelical college stand up and express solidarity with her. And female students say they're going to wear hijab home to their evangelical families during the holiday break, during the Christmas break, the holiest day, or amongst the holiest days with Easter in the Christian calendar. There are good people out there, brothers and sisters, and we have to support them. We have to reciprocate their overtures, because if we don't, then we're being ungrateful. And what does Allah tell us about a lack of gratitude? إِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنْ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you give thanks for my blessings, وَلَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ. And we are blessed to be in a place where these things happen, and there are people, good people, who stand up and say, we support you. Who stand up and say, we will stand with you. Who stand up and say, we feel your pain. I was at the airport, and my wife was with me, and Ra'il, the singer, he's going to sing tonight. I could tell you a singer joke, but it's worse than the cab driver joke. So I'm going to spare you. We were on the curve, and the lady who tells you to scram if you stay there too long, the police lady, African-American lady, very dignified sister. We're sitting there looking very Muslim. Like, I got on this kufi, and my wife has on her hijab, and Brother Ra'il was looking Muslim even with his guitar. And so she said, you guys are Muslim? We said, yes. She said, I ain't mad at y'all. I said, okay, that's good to know. And she's like, you know, I'm with you. Oh, because I understand what's going on. And I know what's happening in Chicago to my community. And so I said, yeah, it's all from the same poison. I didn't say it in this way, but I said it with this meaning. It's the water from the same poisoned well. A well that's been poisoned by hatred, by racism, by bigotry. And that water has poisoned the Native Americans, African Americans during slavery, Chinese Americans during the series of events that culminated with the Chinese Exclusion Act, Japanese Americans during the 30s when they were vilified and culminating in the mass internment of Japanese Americans on the West Coast that's poisoned so many Latinos. Muslims are worried about concentration camps.
Like, what if they build concentration camps and put us in them?
We'll just make the concentration camps madaris, kulliyat, wal jamiat. And when they tear the walls down, there'll be a lot more huffad, there'll be a lot more fuqaha, there'll be a lot more abidin wal abidat wal khashi'in wal khashiat wal salihin wal salihat than there were before they built them. But we worry about it. They already have concentration camps. They're called detention centers. And they're filled with hundreds of thousands of Latinos as they await deportation. And they're all privatized to add to the crime. People are making money off of their existence. They're already in existence. And we have a responsibility to stand with the people who are suffering because of it. To stand with the people whose children are being shot down in the streets like dogs every 28 hours. But the Washington Post, two a day. Malcolm X grassroots report, every 28 hours. But the Washington Post said every day two people in this country, overwhelmingly members of minority communities, but not exclusively. There's white folks that are suffering that pain and that loss also. Two a day. We have to stand with these people, brothers and sisters. That's how we defend Islam. That's one of the great ways we defend Islam, because when you stand with people, they will stand with you. And if we have African Americans standing with Muslims, if we have Latinos standing with Muslims, if we have poor white folks who are also victims of police brutality, whose jobs have been shipped overseas as the middle class has been eviscerated, who are suffering in places like Appalachia. If you stand with them, they'll stand with us. And if they stand with us, those racists and haters and bigots won't be able to do anything with us or anything to us. It's that simple, brothers and sisters. That's how we defend the religion. And I got the note. You're so kind. No, seriously. If we stand with them, they'll stand with us. And if we empathize and feel their pain, they'll feel our pain. You know, it's bad and it's tense. It could get worse. But right now, people aren't being shot down in the street like this young man here in Chicago, Laquan McDonald, lied about, covered up. Like in Oakland, Oscar Grant, many of you face down, handcuffed, face down on a train platform, a bullet in the back. Or Gary King, like three blocks from our masjid, tased and then shot with his shirt off. He couldn't be concealing a weapon. He doesn't have any shirt on. Where's he concealing it? And shot anyway. Alan Bluford, when he saw the cops, he knew he might be the next Oscar Grant. He might be the next Gary King. So he started running. And when the cops caught him, no premeditation, on the ground, shot him dead. Or Sean Bell in New York. Or Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida. Or the young man in Cleveland, 12 years old. What's his name? Tamir Rice in Cleveland. Or this young man in Minnesota. And what are the people in Minnesota? What are the activists saying? They're saying that this police brutality is rooted in Islamophobia. And rooted in racism. Because where's the intersection? The intersection is in that huge Somali community in Minnesota. And the young men who are facing the racial profiling because they're black and facing the Islamophobia because they're Muslims. And the activists there recognize that. And so we have to have more than Congressman Keith Ellison, who's a Muslim and that's his district, or his son, who had the police pointing weapons at him. We have to have Muslims in numbers standing with those people who are out there clearly saying that we're all in this together. And we are all in it together. Brothers and sisters, this is a struggle, but it's a beautiful struggle. It's a struggle. Struggle gives us our dignity. Struggle defines our religion. Before Allah Ta'ala says that He called us Muslims, huwa alladhi sammakumul muslimina. What does He say before that? Wajahidu fillahi haqqa jihadi. Struggle in the way of Allah, as should rightfully be the case. We'll never fulfill the haqq that we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're being told, struggle in the way of Allah to the utmost of your ability. Just give it all you have, because you'll never give enough, but Allah is merciful. He'll take what we give. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ هُوَجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مِلَّةِ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِلَّةِ أَبِيكُمْ. This verse is just so loaded. Number one, it tells us our religion is struggle. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Number two, it tells us we were chosen for this struggle. هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ. He has chosen you to do what? To struggle. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ. And then He's told us, it's not difficult. It's not difficult. It's edifying. It strengthens you. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If Allah strengthens us, we're strong. If we try to strengthen ourselves, we might still end up being weak. Like, we could get really strong. You could go to a gym, and you can pump iron like 3 years. You all happy. You got these big biceps. You don't even wear jackets anymore. You wear like, you just, you around the sisters. Sister, which way is the wudu area? Oh, it's over there, brother. And you're feeling so good about those muscles. Like 3 years I was working, like drinking protein formula. I'm buffed. And then an orangutan comes that's 9 times stronger than you, grabs you, snatches you, spins you around, body slams you. No matter how strong you get as a human being, without Allah, you're weak. Without Allah, you're weak. But with Allah, we're strong, we're powerful. So Allah says He's chosen us to struggle, and then He says it's not hard. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. Struggle. هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ. He's chosen you to struggle. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. And He's made no difficulty for you and your religion. It's not hard, brothers and sisters. It's easy, but attitude is everything. If we think it's hard, it's going to be hard. Why? Because Allah is going to make it hard. And عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِ بِي وَأَنَا مَاهُ حَيْثُ ذَكَرَنِي. I'm with my servant as my servant thinks I am. If we think Allah has made this hard for us, it's going to be hard. If we think Allah has made it easy, it's going to be easy. If the atheist thinks Allah doesn't exist, Allah will veil Himself from the atheist. He'll still exist, but the atheist will be veiled from Allah. Allah is here. Allah is self-evident truth, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident. The most self-evident truth is Allah. Because this order in this universe couldn't come about accidentally. This unique human brain could not have been the result of the lucky gene that just happened to mutate in the right way, and bam, there we have it. Human intelligence that outstrips all other intelligence. All the monkeys mentioned, the orangutan, the spider monkey, Reese's monkey, Reese's cup. Wait, that's not a monkey. The gorilla, the chimpanzee, the baboon. I got serious jet lag, folks. The baboon. All those monkeys are in one category. They're like, you know, this is the nut. This is every monkey's tool. This is the tool-making ability of a monkey, brothers and sisters. Human beings are making nano-instruments. Instruments you can't even see with the naked eye.
Oh, wow. We have to stop.
So, you're not a monkey. You're a human being. And as a human being, you were created to struggle. And you were chosen for that struggle. And Allah said it's not difficult. And He says this is what it means to be a Muslim. This is what it means to be a Muslim. هُوَ الَّذِي سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ This is what it means to be a Muslim. So, alhamdulillah, let's accept it. Let's get on with the struggle. Let's build alliances. Let's have a non-violent struggle. Let's renounce it. Let's condemn it, and let us stand up and go forth and work with others to make this country live out the meaning of its constitution, the meaning of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that all men are created equal, and that this equality doesn't stop at the door of the masjid. This equality doesn't stop at the boundaries of the country. That this equality is a God-given right. When Allah Ta'ala declared that equality, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ We have ennobled the human being, all of them. All of them. Not just the Americans amongst them, not just the white middle-class American, not just the rich a cabal of people dominating Wall Street and dominating our politics. All men and women are created equal with the same share of human dignity, with the same right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if we stay here and we struggle, these things, they want us to run away. I can't live in America anymore. It's too overwhelming. People are looking at me with nasty looks. Man, you know, the people in Gaza last summer would really appreciate some nasty looks instead of bombs falling on their head. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Where are you going to go? You're Libyan, you're going to go to Libya, it's going to be better. You're Syrian, you're going to go back to Syria, it's going to be better. You're Palestinian, you're going to go back to Palestinian, it's going to be Palestine, Palestinian. I'm jet lagged, people. It's going to be better. You're going to go to Iraq, it's going to be better. You're going to get all pumped up and juiced up and go join ISIS. You think it's going to be better when the real bombing starts? It's going to be better? You think the Mahdi's going to come and save you? Better think twice. You're going to go to Afghanistan, it's going to be better. A good percentage of those people running into Europe are running from Afghanistan. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Where are you going to go? Allah put us here, He put us here for a wisdom and a reason. If we stand up, defend our religion, defend our community, and build alliances with those people who know that things are wrong, and want to be better, and know that this war machine is eating away at the soul of this country, and we have to stop it. Everyone will benefit on this planet, Muslims and other people. That's our mission. Stand up, brothers. Stand up, sisters. Stand up. Be proud. Defend our religion. Defend the rights of others who are oppressed. And inshallah, we'll have a good life. We'll have a good death. And we can die with dignity. Assalamu alaikum.
No time? Let's do two. One from the brother, one from the sister. Quick.
Oh, I don't know genders.
I'll be quick.
I don't know genders.
Okay, then. Okay. Just take two.
Assalamu alaikum. I took all the question time, but we're going to do two questions. And we hope one was from a brother and one from a sister, and we'll try to be brief because I know the next session, they're coming in here. And our wonderful moderator, what's your name, sister?
Khadija.
Let's give it up for Khadija, the moderator. Allahu Akbar. Just stick in your thumb and pull out a plum. Just grab a question. Any two. Oh, you're going to read it? Fadl.
All right, I'll read them. Calm down.
If you're leaving, leave quietly.
Yeah.
Shh.
These were two reoccurring ones, so hopefully many people have them as well. So the first one says, most Muslims apologize and denounce and have to defend themselves every time the media reports on violence by Muslims. Shouldn't it be given that we are against murder and violence, and how do we go about doing that?
A lot of people have the luxury, of course, of acknowledging that truth. I didn't do anything. I don't have to apologize for anything. We shouldn't apologize for what we didn't do, but we should try to qualify and take the opportunity, the rare ones the media does provide here, to clarify the truth that our community is not violent and that to present it in this way is an injustice. So, and when people do that, we should leave them their space. Leave care their space. That's their thing. That's what they do. You might disagree, but that serves a purpose. And so you don't have to do that. But leave them their space. We have to have the sophistication to realize some people have their niche, and we have to respect that. We shouldn't condemn them. And we have our niche, and in our niche, we might not have to make those kind of condemnations and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. The second most popular one asks, how do you approach a non-Muslim who uses violent verses in the Quran against you, and how do you explain the context of the ayah?
This is how you address a Muslim who uses violent verses in the Quran. You just tell them, look, those violent verses were in the Quran for 1,400 years, and Muslims weren't doing the thing. Some people who appeal to those verses are doing. How come, this is what I say to them, all right, violent verses inspire Muslims to try to exterminate the Yazidis in Iraq. Why are the Yazidis there in the first place? Have they been there for almost 1,400 years living side by side with Muslims and great, great scholars who are in Iraq? Everyone from Imam Ahmed, from Ibn Rahawayhi, from Imam Shafi, who spent part of his career in Iraq, from Imam Abu Hanifa, from the greatest scholars, and then historically, Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, etc., etc. And they didn't have any problem with the Yazidis. So suddenly these people come and they know Islam and they know tafsir of these verses better than the giants of this ummah. You know, so how if Muslims are so inherently violent, how come Christians are in Syria and Babtuma and elsewhere and Ma'lula living in harmony with their Muslim brothers and sisters in the city in Damascus and out in the countryside in Ma'lula, and Ibn Taymiyyah, who was Syrian and spent his career in Damascus, Ibn Qayyim Jawziyah spent his career in Damascus, Imam Nawawi spent his career in Damascus, Ibn Salah, and on and on and on, and none of them had problems with the Christians, and these violent verses were in the Quran. And they didn't interpret it like that. So, you know, time doesn't allow. That could be a whole separate lecture, but time is really up. Allah, we thank you, Sister Khadija, for those extra minutes. May Allah reward you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.